podcast where memoir and Ireland share the stage. We talk with authors, guides, ghostwriters, and other free spirits drawn to memoir or enchanted by Ireland. I'm Barb Robitaille.
And I'm Craig Stewart.
After 7 years writing weekly book reviews for an iconic Portland, Oregon spiritual bookstore, Erin Donnelly took her knowledge of and love for nonfiction self-help books to a new level by becoming a ghostwriter. Erin's energy and enthusiasm for the process of writing books for others is infectious. Having published her own book within the past year, Don't Tell Me to Calm Down, Erin speaks with authority about the joys and pitfalls of birthing a book. We chat about the value of memoir as legacy, writing as a collaborative process, and get a glimpse into the life of an inspired writer.
Erin was working in the New Renaissance bookstore when I first met her. I'd gone in to look for a book, pulled one off the shelf called The Way of the Superior Man. When I brought it up to the counter, Erin goes, "Oh, any man I ever date has got to read this book." It was great. She's so enthusiastic and so honest and so direct, and she's just a force.
She is, in the most wonderful way. Yeah. And any conversation you have with Erin is going to go well beyond the weather. The weather probably won't enter into any sentence. She's curious about how people think. She wants to talk about what's on her mind. She wants to talk to people and get their take on the issues that are relevant to our lives and being human together.
Yeah. She had a TV show for a while called Reveal What's Real.
Exactly.
And she's all about what's real. All of the things you mentioned and her love for writing and the practice she's had reviewing self-help book for years, 6 or 7 years, they all combine to make her a brilliant choice for a ghostwriter.
I would agree. I think she has all the qualities that one would look for. The collaboration, having your story be heard by someone and then shaped in a way that is aligned with your voice.
Yeah. So
I think it's time to put the kettle on and let's have a listen to Erin Donnelly.
Hello, Erin. It's great to talk with you today. How are you?
Craig, hi. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great today.
Oh, good. That's awesome. It's so good to hear your voice. It's been a while.
It has. I know. Yeah. And I'm glad we're coming together, to talk to other writers, I mean, this is going to be a fun conversation.
I agree with you. You know, writing can be so lonely. And so it's kind of nice to reach out to someone and hear how their chair time is going.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. So you have been a ghostwriter now for some time. And I'm curious to know what led you to ghostwriting?
Well, it wasn't planned. I can tell you that much. I have always loved studying human behavior and particularly how to have difficult conversations. And it's just like self-help and personal growth. I mean, as a kid, I would read Wayne Dyer books. And it's strange because I haven't read many of the like classics, but yet I just pretty much only read nonfiction. And so I have such a deep love for these kind of books. And so when I became, an adult and got out of college, I spent roughly a decade in corporate media and sales. And I did really well, but what was like, I would always be like looking for the elephant in the room or looking for what isn't being said or what isn't acknowledged or what we can't talk about. And, I started to really become, at least, in my own mind, like a controversial person within the corporate scene, like I wanted to lay it on the line. And I just thought, why doesn't everyone else want to have these kind of conversations?
Amazing.
And I thought that I was really the flawed one. I was like, I obviously just sort of like can't leave the emotional out of business. And so I need to step out of the business world and kind of like find my footing in a different way. And so I went to, I really changed tracks. I mean, I was like making six figures as a young adult, you know, kind of like living the high life.
Oh, yeah.
And then I went and got a retail job working at a self-help personal growth bookstore in Portland. And I planned to just stay there for 1 year to kind of like find myself and right. then go back in the corporate world and make a bunch of money. You know, that was my plan at the time. And I just became completely enthralled in the world of books, you know, particularly leadership books, personal growth, healing, spirituality. And I wound up staying at the store for, you know, 6 years. And right off the bat, I came to them with the solution of, you know, like, let me write a weekly column for you as like the eyes and ears of the store. I'm new at this stuff. Let me be like the first customer to walk through the door. And they were like, sure. So, you know, we had a huge email database. And for 6 years, every single week, I read a book of my choice, interviewed the author most of the time. And then I found a way to encapsulate that book, and sell it essentially to our audience, to our customer database.
Wow, sounds like an ideal job.
Right. It was, you know what, it was so awesome, but it was really demanding.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I had to read a book a week, so I became a very fast reader mm-hmm. and a much better interviewer and better writer. And what's so cool about, you know, working with an email campaign is that you get statistics, you know, on what happened with your email, how many people unsubscribed, how many people clicked on the link, and even just the responses that I got. You know, I was learning about the self-help, personal growth, leadership audience, the people who consume this kind of media. And after 7 years, I knew them and I knew how to speak to them and I knew what kind of books they wanted and I knew what was a fresh message for them to hear. So I thought, okay, well, you know, maybe I can become an author and a speaker myself. Because by then I'm like, all right, I'm ready to make some money again, quite frankly. I was like, how do I become an author myself?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I realized that, you know, I had to essentially launch a speaking career and start there and then start generating material and get audience feedback. And from there, I would be able to write a book. And so what I wanted to talk about as a speaker and hopefully get hired in corporate settings and other, you know, like major nonprofits or association groups, you know, like how speakers do. My topics were always way too provocative and controversial and a little bit too messy for those scenes. And so you know, like, again, I wanted to talk about the elephant in the room. I was starting to learn about oppression more. And so I wanted to go in and, you know, just sort of talk about like sexism in the workplace and how people can find their voices and how they can say what they really mean. And they're like, no, we're not wanting to go there. And this is largely when like the positivity movement was just huge. Oh. So everyone who was being hired for mm-hmm. speaking gigs were all about, you know, power of positive thinking in one shape or, you know, one form or the other. Yeah. And so I thought, okay, this isn't working. And I really struggled for several years to figure out what I wanted to do. And I tried to find a bunch of different jobs. And I realized at this point, I was like somewhat unemployable because, you know,
here comes Aaron again. Look out.
I would not hire me either. Really, like the stuff I'm generally interested in, you know, are it's unusual. So anyway, I heard one day about a woman who was ghostwriting, and it was just like this like completely new concept. And I thought, like, what does that mean? And my brother Sean was the head book buyer at Powell's Books, which is the largest independent bookstore in the Northwest. And, you know, so I went to him and said, talk to me about ghostwriting. What do you know? And he said, he's like, Eric, you know, approximately 60 to 80% of all nonfiction books are written by ghostwriters.
Oh my gosh.
So anytime you see, you know, a politician or a celebrity or, you know, a CEO write a book, I mean, I'd say 8 times out of 10, they worked with a ghostwriter.
Interesting. That's a huge number.
That's a huge number. And sometimes when people find that out, they're like, oh man, that stinks. Like, I really thought it was them writing it. And I was like, no, you realize like they do write it. I'm just helping to shape the words. Anyway, just to wrap that up is that I thought, you know what? I actually, Craig, I went online and I thought, okay, I'm not a beginner because I know these books. I know how to talk to the audience. You
52
know, like
a year for 7 years. I mean, that's holy smokes.
Insane. But yeah. I was a beginner in working with clients as a ghostwriter and in the process of creating a book. I was new at that. But anyway, my arrogance made me go onto the online and look up. I said, what does a mid-level ghostwriter make? And they said, you know, approximately $25,000 per book. And I was like, great, I'm going to just start pitching that to whoever, whoever will listen. And I got really lucky and I was connected to a prominent guy in the financial industry who wanted to write a leadership book. And then it was just like, boom, I got my first client. And I'll tell you what, when you get one of those big checks as a writer, you're just like, this is where it's at.
Of course.
And so And I loved being behind the scenes. I realized that I've always been pushed to the forefront to be on stage or to write about something or do something courageous. But in this setting, I just want to be paid to be a writer. I don't have to be the author. I don't have to be the one to, I don't want to be the one to promote it most times. I just love this this act of like giving birth to a book, you know, it's beautiful and it's a great experience with clients. And I feel like I've finally found what I was meant to do.
Oh, good for you. That's great. And in addition to talking about the elephant in the room, you're now able to sit back and write and just fall in love with writing. That's pretty amazing. Speaking of writing your own book, you have come out with a lovely little book called Don't Tell Me to Calm Down, Face Your Power and Find Your Peace. Read it cover to cover. I go back to it occasionally to remind myself how I can improve my life. It's a lot of wisdom in these pages. What was different for you about writing your own book than ghostwriting for other people? And will you do it again? Do you have another book in you?
Yes. I'm so glad you asked this. You know, through the process of writing my own book, I realized how can I say this? That like writing a book is not, it should never be done alone. I saw the importance.
Interesting.
Of
Would
people,
you say that one more time?
Yeah, no, I have a lot more to say about it too. A book should never be written alone.
Okay.
And even though I have these skills to 100% write this alone, it would have driven me insane. These are, when you're writing your own book, and this happens with every single one of my clients too. It's an emotional experience. It is, you cannot avoid it. There are times when you're just like obsessed with it and just like can't get enough of the writing and the, you know, the editing. And then there are times where you don't want to have anything to do with it. There are times where you think it's total crap. Yeah. And then times where you think it's so good when it really isn't. And so it is just like, it is one of the most intense experiences. So I didn't intend to get a bunch of help with this. I actually took some time off. I took four to 5 months off of writing for other people so I could focus on this. Okay. And it was probably the loneliest, hardest time in my life, perhaps. I know I sound really dramatic about that, but it was so bad that like I joined a weekly therapy group to help me get through. I hired and included like, you know, probably four or five editors along the way, different kinds of people to help give me feedback. Like for instance, you know, when I was writing this is really when like everything that's happening in our country and with this administration was just starting to explode. And I realized that as a white woman, that I hadn't really sat down with many people of color to talk about how my thoughts and ideas that I was putting in this book, how does that even land with them? And I thought, wow, I'm really doing a disservice here. And this is actually can be viewed as harmful in a way to put out something without, you know, sort of getting well-rounded feedback. And so,
well, in that sense, the timing was perfect
for it was your perfect.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, I hired, included an incredible Black woman who just challenged me in all these different ways. Like, you know, one of the simplest things she told me is she just said, you know what, as a white author, just avoid using the words light and dark. Light meaning good and, you know, what we're striving for, and dark use it. And I was like, whoa. And that was such a challenge to strip those words from my vocabulary completely. Uh-huh. But it made me a better writer. And like, there were times where I would choose different stories. Cause I mean, the book's called Don't Tell Me to Calm Down. So I could go into my past and choose tons of stories of when I felt wronged and silenced. And I had some mentors help me, like, okay, you can use that one, but that one is going too far, you know? And, yeah. Cause I didn't know, it was really hard to choose. And so, you know, just as you help people and I help people, like, these books are collaborative projects. You know, by the time I was done and I got feedback from different people, I mean, I was so confident about this and I felt so ready to put it out there. But this notion of, like, you know, you hole yourself up in a cabin in the woods for 2 weeks and come out with a book is like, you know, Craig, what I saw at the bookstore for years and years were disappointed authors. There were very few of them that were, like, truly happy with the results of their book.
Oh, and you mean the sales, or you mean the actual writing?
The sales of the book. They would just be, you know, the average book sells less than 500 copies.
Gotcha.
And, you know, when you look at most of those books, you know, and I mean, that's on the whole, but especially with self-published books, mm-hmm. you can tell when it hasn't had a professional touch to it. You can tell when a person just, you know, chose, you know, sort of like a not a professional book cover designer. You can tell when somebody who doesn't do the interior layout is not a professional. You can tell when it hasn't been professionally edited. Mm-hmm. You can tell when that person hasn't worked with a coach. And it comes through. And I saw a lot of really heartbroken people because they wanted their message to be heard and understood. And they just thought, well, if I write it and put it out there, which you can, you know, with self-publishing, that, like, if you write it, they'll come. And that really wasn't the case. Like, the heartbreak was really hard to see.
Well, interesting perspective. I'm so glad you're talking about this for all the writers that we have coming on our tour and writers that will be hearing this. It's a tough road to hoe. And I'm glad you're talking about how it's not just a solitary. I mean, yes, you do write in solitude. Yes. But the support you need is probably can't be overstated, right?
It cannot be overstated. And I think I got really comfortable with this when I did work at the bookstore. And it's called New Renaissance Bookshop, by the way, for those of you who might know the location. It's legendary.
It's a destination.
It absolutely is. And so every week, you know, they let me choose the book. They let me choose the topic, which was very generous. But I had to get past three gatekeepers who would scrutinize absolutely every word. And we had to get to a point where all four of us loved it. And so I would, you know, I would fight with them. No, that line is important. And they would say no. And it was so we had tough conversations every single week. And I by the time we hit send, that email was way better than what I had originally proposed.
I love hearing that. And I found that to be true with my writing. You know, at first, I think there's a tendency to say, oh, hey, this is my idea and it's a great idea and I love this sentence. And then you put another pair of eyes on it and it maybe can be made better. And so to sort of give up the reins, I think, might be a good...
It's essential. Yeah. There's so much humility that needs to take place in creating a book, and even just realizing that, you know, the way that we see the world is not the way others experience it too. Mm-hmm. And we may think that we're being really clear and telling a story or whatever, but you need to get buy-in on who else found that to be clear and understandable and compelling. And a lot of times we're so close to our own stories that we care about details that others don't care about.
Isn't that true? Yeah. Yeah.
That's so true. You know, like, so having a professional person just helps say, like, okay, I love that story. And we're going to take the one part of that story and really magnify it. The rest isn't needed. You know, it actually is quite freeing to the author. And, you know, and yeah, there's like, I think that my love for having tough conversations has completely transferred to ghostwriting. I mean, we have, I don't want to say battles, but there are tough conversations. Like, I need to say that, like, oftentimes that, you know, hey, we're on a deadline here. You know, like, I have to enforce deadlines. I have to help them make decisions. And no, we're going to go with this content. And no, that word is being overused. And this story is not important. And that's not going to work for the table of contents. And so there's a big trust factor.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that you experienced that too. But these books are collaborative projects, and bringing in somebody who knows about books is only going to help you.
Great. Erin, can you touch a little bit on, this is all fantastic information and I love it. Our people are going to just drink this up. Can you talk a little bit about memoir? I don't know if have you ghostwritten a memoir, or do you consider memoir part of your nonfiction catalog? Or
yes, I actually just completed this week a memoir for a gentleman who just got out of prison.
Oh my.
And wow. So we talked about, you know, the story of like how he got there. He's a little bit later in life. He's in his late 60s, so I guess it could have been viewed as an autobiography. But you know, since we were capturing, you know, how he landed in prison, it was more of a memoir. And I love these kind of books because it's a mixture of story and lesson. And we wrote his book from the way of like him talking directly to the audience, you know, saying like, you know, so in this phase of my life, you know, this was going on. Have you experienced that too? You know, he kind of like had like a dialogue with the audience, and then he would throw in some statistics like, you know, I was the, you know, my parent had mental illness, and I've learned at this point in life that kids who grow up with parents who are mentally ill experience da 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 da. So, you know, there's like research, there's stories. He included some of his favorite song lyrics. We put his favorite, you know, his favorite teachers, quotes from his teachers. So memoir is just so beautiful because it can be it's not only like the telling of your story, but it's an honoring of everything that's dear to you and everyone who is dear to you.
Isn't that true? And it's so, it makes it much more, how should we say, approachable for those of us reading it. In that.
Absolutely. Then everyone can connect in different ways.
Yeah.
And what I love also about memoir is that, you know, is most of my clients self-publish. And some of them like truly don't care about the book sales. They just want to write this to document a time in their life. And that's how I felt about Don't Tell Me to Calm Down. Sure, I'd love it to be on the New York Times bestseller list, you know, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't really care that much. It felt so good at age 44 to stop and document everything that's really important to me at this phase in my life. And I'm not an expert in this. And so I encourage other people who just have passion for a topic or just want to like unpack what's happened in their lives. You can sit down and write a memoir with help and have it be really compelling and honoring and not just all about you. And
Erin, that's like, sort of, that should be our tagline for our tours. You just,
it's so true.
Nailed it. You nailed it. Thank you. We'll pay you later. We'll get back. And No, that's awesome. That is exactly what we're pushing.
Well, and you know, I'm 44 and I don't have children. And for me, this was like having a child because it's something that I can now leave behind.
Yep.
Something that my, you know, nieces and nephews might want to read one day. And I think about the people who, you know, largely come on your tours. I'm sure that they're like 50 plus for the most part in age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so they've had their children. Maybe they're having grandchildren, but this is almost a way to have like one last baby.
No, I love that. First of all, let's go back to your book again. Don't Tell Me to Calm Down. There's a lot of wisdom in these pages, Erin, I don't care how old you are. I mean, this is a legacy you're leaving behind of a lifestyle choices and being true and honorable and honest and doggone it. It's great stuff and good for you for approaching it in this way that you're leaving a legacy of your experiences behind. I just think that's amazing. It's a good call.
Thank you. And you know, one other thing I want to say that I think is helpful to aspiring authors is that, you know, I specialize in writing and ghostwriting, what's called an airplane read. So, you know, my book is, 133 pages. That's not very many. That's not much. It's exactly 25,000 words. The average published book, nonfiction, is about 50,000. So my books are about half that, and it's still a decent size. And again, working at a bookstore all those years, people eat up this size book. They buy it more frequently than the bigger books. They consume it, you know, more quickly. I mean, you could read my book in 2 hours if you wanted. So that's why it's called an airplane read. And I find that my clients, my author clients, you know, I tell them, like, this is what you're getting. And I can actually hand them my book and they could feel and see the size of theirs. But I encourage this size because as a first-time author, this is a really good way to sort of dip your toe into it. Instead of having to come up with all this content, this is a great way to put something together, get it out in the world, and get some feedback. Like, I'm learning so much more about this book than I ever thought after I wrote it based on people's feedback. And now I'm getting some ideas of what direction I might want to go as an author next.
That was my next question, is like, do you have another book waiting in the wings?
Hell no. Let me tell you, I don't want to go down that road again anytime soon. I'm so happy to be ghostwriting again.
Why? I mean, it sounds painful, right?
It's vulnerable to put together a book and, you know, find a great cover and get all the systems in place to get it out there. And it's an investment. It's, you know, this wasn't cheap. I took 4 or 5 months off of work. I mean, the only reason I was able to put this book together is because I sold my home a few years ago and had a little bit of money in savings. So this is a privileged thing to do in a lot of ways. Mm. And I really want to acknowledge that. I mean, there are very cheap ways you can self-publish a book, but your time is worth a lot.
Yes.
And so I want to make money as a ghostwriter, and I want to keep improving my skills and doing these collaborative projects. I just love working with people, like the editing process and the collaboration, and it's so fun for me.
It sounds like you've really hit your stride. You've found your niche. I mean, it's lovely. It's a great story in and of itself, Erin.
Thank you so much. And I really, again, I was so excited to talk to you and your audience and the people who work with you, because, I mean, when you hold your own book in your hand for the first time, I mean, it is a feeling unlike anything else. I mean, I was like screaming and running around the house, and I mean, I wanted to like knock on people's doors. And I really hope everyone gets to experience this. It's unlike anything. And it's like number 1, 2, 3 on people's bucket lists. So I love that both you and I like help people make this happen for themselves, because it is worth it.
What a great thing to say. It's very helpful.
Thank you. Yes. It's been really fun chatting with you.
All right, Erin, thank you so much. Where can people get Don't Tell Me to Calm Down, and how can they get in touch with you if they feel like they would like some help ghostwriting?
Great. Thank you. My website is erindonnelly.com, and that's E-R-I-N-D-O-N-L-E-Y. And you can buy my book. There's a link on my website to buy it, but it's available through Amazon, barnesandnoble.com, basically anywhere online books are sold, you could buy my book. And if you are in a bookstore, my book is available through Ingram, which is a book warehouse company that almost every bookstore in the country orders from. So you can just go in and tell them to order my book and they'll be able to do it.
Okay. erindonnelly.com. I think if you can get her excitement from this conversation, then you would be well served to call her up. All right, Barb sends her best, and thank you so much for talking to us, and we'll keep in touch.
Certainly. Yeah. Tell Barb hi too. Okay. Thanks. Right. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Ink and Pete, a production of Memoir Tours Ireland. You can learn more about Memoir Tours and find other podcasts on our website, memoirtours.com.
And we'd love to know if you have ideas for shows or requests. We'd love to hear from you. Contact Craig or Barb at memoirtours.com.
Until next time, May you find joy where you least expect it.